This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled week. Are you making plans or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Weather permitting, an arts party will kick off the cultural season. An abstract art exhibit will open uptown, and a new fine crafts gallery will open in an upscale mall. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack. Culture Collision 9 kicks off the cultural season. The annual celebration of nonprofit arts organizations is relocating to accommodate a growing roster of visual and performing arts entities. Event co-founder Jess Savello is here with details. Welcome.
Hi, Diane.
Culture Collision 9 is a not-so-subtle reminder of just how rich our community is when it comes to the arts. How has the celebration grown over the years?
You know, when we started this out, and I still can't believe it's been 9 years ago, we had no idea how successful it would be. We had around 30 organizations. We were hoping for maybe 200 to 300 people to turn out and support the arts. And that year we had 1,200 people show up. Wow. This year we have 90 organizations confirmed to participate, and we're expecting probably around 2,000 people.
Are you surprised by the growth?
I am and I'm not. I'm surprised by it in a way that I just can't believe that this little thing that a couple of us put together has grown into be such a successful event that the community relies on. But at the same time, you know, there was a need for it. There was a need to create that collaboration among all of the arts groups in this town. So in that regard, it's not surprising because we saw a need, we filled it, and we've just continued to grow it. And people have really embraced that.
So where are you relocating?
This year, our new location is the warehouse space at the Contemporary Arts Center. They've got this great space behind the main galleries. It's the perfect footprint for our event. We're able to grow. You know, the past years, we've moved. We started at NOMA. We went to Generations Hall. The World War II Museum has been very gracious the past 3 years. But we just kept growing, and then we had wait lists. And so we really wanted to find somewhere, short of the Superdome, that could host us. And the CAC has been great. They're working with us. We actually will still have some room to grow in this space as well.
Describe the atmosphere.
It's a very casual atmosphere. It is, you know, it's that post-work group, middle of the week, so you see a little bit of everything. It's networking, but it's not a formal networking. It's not your professional development luncheon or something along those lines. Really, it's meant for people to have fun and to bridge that bit of a gap that you sometimes find in the local arts and culture scene. You see students from Tulane or Loyola or UNO out there. You see folks coming right after work in their business attire. You see a little bit of everything. It's very casual and comfortable. There is like a happy hour special. And it's just walking through this huge warehouse space and taking in all of these different experiences and performances and special offers. You walk up to a table, maybe Deutsches Haus, and you know, they've got Oktoberfest coming. They get so excited and they're so passionate that seeps into your soul a little bit. And it just kind of gives you the amazing feeling of, I live in such a fantastic city.
What's on tap at this year's kickoff?
They're all doing a little bit of something different. I think we've got one group that's doing screen printing at their table. We've got another Shotgun Cinema that's doing a projection throughout. And then we do have our performances, which we do every year. We've got the Victory Bells from the World War II Museum. They're a lot of fun. We have the Disco Amigos that are going to do a little disco dancing lesson for us. We've got La Petite Theater that will be doing a musical selection from their upcoming season. And then Melange Dance Group will also be doing some of their current works.
How many of the groups are new nonprofits this year?
Quite a few. We have our kind of the old guard of the New Orleans arts, if you will, the Opera Association, the Ballet, the Louisiana Philharmonic. But it's really refreshing to see some of these new groups coming in. You know, the New Orleans Horror Film Festival has joined us this year, and I'm really excited about that. Art Club is joining. The New Orleans Architecture Foundation signed up this year, and the New Orleans Voice Talent Foundation. You know, we're really able to welcome all of these people, not just the organizations you expect, but there are a few that are of the unexpected. It's a very well-rounded group of organizations.
And what's the goal in bringing all of these groups under one roof?
New Orleans, despite the fact that we are a big city, we're still a small town. And when you're working for an arts group and you're working with a nonprofit, you're tapping into the same audiences that you want to come to your event and buy tickets to your event, the same audience that you want to recruit as donors or board members, and the same audiences that you want to recruit as volunteers or potential staff. So why not work together instead of against each other and be collaborative in working with those audiences and engaging those people?
And what will be the big takeaway for those who participate?
Well, you get a Wednesday night in August, air conditioning, which is an amazing thing this time of year. You're going to walk away with that wow factor of, okay, I knew about these groups, but I had no idea about these others. So I guess it's going to be one of those experiences where you walk in, you think, okay, I'm going to a happy hour on a Wednesday night at the CAC. That's fine. But you're going to learn about the local scene. You're going to learn something new. You're going to see old friends. You're going to have an amazing experience. We've had people find jobs at this event before. So it really kind of runs the gamut as to what people walk away with.
Culture Collision co-founder Jess Civello. Thanks.
Thank you, Diane.
Culture Collision 9 takes place Wednesday evening, August 30th from 5:30 until 8 at the Contemporary Arts Center, 900 Camp Street. Please check our website, wwno.org, for updates on events, as some may be rescheduled due to Tropical Storm Harvey. Female artists from across the country explore new ways of abstraction in a new exhibit at Newcomb Art Museum of Tulane. The exhibit, Unfamiliar Again, explores common imagery in a new light with experimental techniques to pique viewer curiosity. Curator Monica Ramirez-Montagut joins us. Welcome back.
Thank you, Diane. Happy to be here.
You know, the colors are striking in these works. They seem to dance on canvas. What excites you about the exhibit?
This exhibition has that visual impact of when you walk into a gallery space and you go, wow, these colors and these compositions hit you and leaves you in awe.
Now, the exhibit is called Unfamiliar Again. How did it come about?
Well, the title came from doing studio visits with these artists and understanding what was their goal with these paintings. And one of them said, you know, I really want to make things unfamiliar again. So I was like, perfect. This is the title for the exhibition. This is what all these artists have in common. They are deftly apt, talented, proficient painters. And yet somehow they create these processes and these methods and these systems for their work. So they impose these rules on themselves to be able to probably distort what is familiar, repeated in patterns, so that in the end, we really are not sure what we're looking at. We know we like it. We know it somehow makes some sort of sense, but it yet remains very mysterious and bizarre. And weird, but in a good way. Leaves you lingering. What am I seeing? And why is there something that's a little bit off? Even though some of the things I do recognize, some shapes, images, some other things I have never seen before. So the objective of all these artists of putting themselves through these very nuanced and laborious methods to make their paintings or their photos or their sculptures is just to create awe in us and to make us see something that was not there before, create new images.
Who are the artists?
These are all women artists, and women artists are just starting to get their due visibility and recognition in the art world. There are several exhibitions focusing on women that work in abstract forms and shapes. You know, there's an exhibition at the Kemper Museum of Contemporary Art in Kansas City. It's called Magnetic Fields, and it's all abstract work by women of color. And one of the artists there is Chakaya Booker, who we've had at the Newcomb Art Museum. There's a very important exhibition happening in the Modern Art Museum of New York, Making Space, 1945-1970, that has important artists such as Lee Krasner, Joan Mitchell, Agnes Martin. There's another exhibition called Women of Abstract Expressionism in Denver and has Elaine de Kooning. But this exhibition that we are showing now here in New Orleans, it's really contemporary, really forward-thinking, and it is women from all over the states, different generations, and all of them have in common that they do want to create these uncanny, mysterious shapes, but most of them do it through using technology as a tool to get there. And so a lot of those images that we see in this exhibition would have not been able to come to fruition in the way that we see them had these ladies not used digital technology or contemporary technology. So therefore, they're images that would have not been there 100 years ago. Some exhibitions, like the one at MoMA, finishes at 1970. They don't show artists beyond 1970. And what we're showing now is basically the next generation of artists working in this field.
It's a very timely exhibit.
It is very timely, and we're hoping we're adding to that discussion.
Let's talk more about the objects. What are the familiar objects in the works and the process used to make the familiar unfamiliar? Give us an example, perhaps, of what we'll see.
Well, for example, artist Annie View was born in Michigan and now lives in New York City. She scans iridescent or holographic paper in her scanner, but as she is scanning this paper that basically just reflects light with a lot of iridescence and a lot of colors, like rainbow colors, she manipulates a paper as she's scanning. And then that image, she then prints in fabric, but it's a fabric that's a faux suede. It's a fussy fabric that has a lot of texture. So she has these blurry images of beautiful colors, distorted, kind of like wavy images printed on this fabric that has this texture on it. So it's fuzzy. The edges are not very clear. The surface is not very crisp. And then she paints on top of that some other shapes that echo the ones that you're seeing, but those are painted with airbrush, but they're painted in a way that they mimic what's underneath them. So what you see are these paintings that you're not really sure if you are not focusing well and aren't able to see the painting, what is that texture coming from, what is painted, what is not painted. They're very bizarre in a good way. She does also sculpture, so we have two sculptures that are lenticular plastic. Lenticular plastic is when you have a postcard and you move it around, the image changes. We have a cube made with this lenticular plastic, and so as you walk around this cube, the image that you're seeing inside keeps shifting, and again, you're unable to focus. And the colors are beautiful, they're bright, they're like an explosion.
So we will be questioning our own interpretation.
Exactly.
Of these works. Wow.
Exactly. There's some works by Barbara Takenaga that does these kind of like splashes of paint, and then she starts painting on top of the splashes. And she's the one that creates these kind of like space, landscapes, and galaxies. However, some of the paint is iridescent. And so you may be seeing the painting from one side and thinking, oh, this is a landscape of the sea, or, you know, I don't know what I'm seeing. And then you're walking and then the color changes and suddenly it's like blue or purple. So your own interpretation of the painting may change as you are looking at it.
Yeah, iridescent eye candy.
Yes.
Now, you are going to be talking with the artist.
We are going to be talking with four of the artists on September 6th at 6:30 because they were coming to the opening. And so I decided to open up the discussion for each one of them to talk briefly about their work, specifically this process that they create to accomplish their artwork, and also to have a conversation between them, because while most of them know the work of each other, they've not had a conversation between them to actually discuss what brings them together in these processes and where each one of them just kind of like spins off in her own methodology. And so one of the artists that we are including in the panel is not represented in the exhibition inside the museum, but she's the artist, architect, sculptor that just installed her sculpture outside the museum. It's a Corten steel outdoor sculpture. Very beautiful. It's actually very geometric.
These are the rings?
These are the rings outside. It's a simple sculpture. It's just three rings that link one to the other. They go in different directions. So depending where you see the sculpture from, you really cannot see the circles. It looks like a spiral or it looks like a tangle of metal. So it's beautiful because you have to walk around the whole sculpture to finally understand it's just three circles.
And the artist is?
And the artist is Dee Briggs, and she will be here also on September 6th. And then again, she will be back with us on January to give more of a longer lecture and explain her work. But again, she works with abstraction. She works with these images to create abstracted forms that take you a while to kind of understand, even the single shape.
And the big takeaway for audiences as they explore these works?
These are seven artists that are telling you exactly how they envision their own world and their own rules to be able to get to these gorgeous paintings. It's about enjoying just the sheer beauty of abstraction, but it's also about understanding that it's not as simple or as random as folks may think. Doing good abstraction is really a challenge.
Monica Ramirez-Montagut, Museum Director and Exhibit Curator. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you, Diane.
Newcomb Art Museum at Tulane University presents Unfamiliar Again, Contemporary Women Abstractionist. There will be a reception and artist talk on Wednesday, September 6th. The event is free and open to the public. The exhibit runs through December 23rd. More info is online at newcombartmuseum.tulane.edu. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO, New Orleans Public Radio. I'm Diane Mack. A large commercial space opening at an upscale downtown mall aims to give local fine craft artists more exposure. The Louisiana Crafts Guild will open its newest gallery, La Guilde, at the Shops at Canal Place. Louisiana Crafts Guild Executive Director Jean Maneri and Gallery Manager Katie O'Dell are here. Welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Thank you for having us.
Tell me, how did this opportunity come about?
Well, the Crafts Guild is a 20-year organization. We're actually headquartered in Lafayette, but we serve the entire state. We've always wanted to get into the New Orleans market, and we were friends with a lot of people at Rhino Gallery, which has been in Canal Place for many years. They've moved to Lower Magazine Street, and we are assuming their space on the second floor at Canal Place. The mall wanted a contemporary craft gallery in there. We wanted to be in New Orleans. We were able to get together and make a deal that worked out for everybody.
So let's talk about the space. How large is it?
It is over 2,000 square feet.
And what makes the location unique for this venture?
I really think that this is a great opportunity for both locals and tourists to see all of the cool works of Louisiana artists. You know, Canal Place is something that for those of us in New Orleans, we've known for a long time. We know that it's downtown, but there's easy parking. And then the location right there on Canal Street, right next to the hotels, the casino, near the riverboat. I mean, it can certainly draw in a lot of tourists. And we're hoping to be able to serve both those communities effectively and give them all something cool to take home.
How many artists will be represented, and how are their works chosen?
The Guild is a juried organization. Every person who gets in has to apply through an in-person jury of other artists in that medium. So if you're a jeweler, there'll be four other existing members who are jewelers who will look at your work and approve you to join. Once you join, as long as you keep up with the same styles, you continue to be in the Guild. And all of our members are eligible to show in this gallery. We have over 225 members. Not all of them are going to be there because, well, as Katie said, it is over 2,000 square feet. It's not big enough to have 225 members. So we hope to have a rotating stock that shows off all the breadth of the arts that the Guild supports.
What kinds of crafts will be featured?
We have everything from metalwork, yard art, to jewelry, to handmade textile art, whether it's dyed scarves to pot holders that are quilted. We also have furniture, handmade woodcrafts, and knives.
Ceramics, glass, metal, jewelry, fiber arts, and wood, alongside some mixed media as well. And that really runs the gamut from very large furniture pieces by Greg Arsenault, where he's making these really large armoires, to an eyeglass case made of recycled ties by Annie O'Dell. One artist that we've worked with for a long time is David Bergeron, an artist out of Thibodaux. A lot of people who have been to the Jazz Fest may have seen his work. He shows there every year. He uses a lot of reclaimed and recycled wood to make really impressive furniture and picture frames as well. The frames are one of his better sellers. People have probably seen them. They're striped, damaged wood type of things. They're really beautiful, but he also makes these beautiful trunks, mirrors, bookcases with these really tiny filaments of wood almost. It has the appearance of albums, of old 33 records on the wall there, because they're these really small pieces of wood. And I asked him once, like, how did this come about? And basically the answer was because they wanted to use absolutely everything possible. So even the tiniest scrap of wood, they could find a way to turn into something beautiful.
One of my favorite artists is actually a family of artists, the Junos. The father does metal work, the son does metal work, the mother and the daughter do jewelry work. It's so interesting seeing how their designs have translated from the different mediums that they work on. They're out of Scott, Louisiana.
Is this gallery, La Guild, the second to open in the state?
Yeah, we've run the Sans Souci Gallery in downtown Lafayette since the early 2000s.
Sans Souci. And what does that translate to?
It translates to without care. It's a classic old building in downtown Lafayette, but it's not very large. It's basically a two-room shotgun house. It's one of the last remaining historical structures like that in that part of Lafayette, but it's only about 800 square feet. And so with all the members that we had, especially with people with very large items, we really needed a place where we could showcase the breadth of the work that our artists do. And bringing it to New Orleans was the perfect fit.
What is your hope as you reach out to more artists and new audiences?
We really want to share all the beautiful work that's created here in Louisiana by hand. There's both great tradition, especially in a lot of the woodwork that comes out of Louisiana. There's a certain style of pottery. There's a certain style of glass. I believe that Tulane was one of the first schools in America to offer an MFA in glass back in the 1960s. And so we have a lot of glass artists in this area. And those are all people that we want to represent. We want to have people be able to enjoy their works, to see just that there's a lot of beautiful stuff that's created in Louisiana.
Will there be a grand opening celebration?
There definitely will be, but our first plan is to get the doors open Friday, and after that, sometime in mid to late September, we're going to have something going on and hopefully get many of our artists down here.
So you're going to have a soft opening on the first?
We will have a soft opening for sure when we open on Friday.
Louisiana Crafts Guild Executive Director Jean Maneri and Gallery Manager Katie O'Dell. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The Louisiana Crafts Guild opens its newest gallery, La Guild, on Friday. Second floor of the Shops at Canal Place, 333 Canal Street. That's our show for this week. Support for Inside the Arts comes from the Hellas Foundation. Our program is a production of WWNO and is archived at wwno.org. Please check our website, wwno.org, for updates on events, as some may be rescheduled due to Tropical Storm Harvey. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette on Tuesdays at 1 p.m., Wednesdays at 8:30 p.m., and a shortened edition on Thursday mornings at 8:45, when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.